This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and we're coming down to the home stretch on the final vote in the House of Representatives on health care reform legislation for this year. The 72-hour window has been put into effect, and we're now looking at a vote sometime early Sunday afternoon. The latest apparent shot in the arm for congressional Democratic leaders is an initial score, not a final one, from the Congressional Budget Office, showing that over the next 10 years, this plan, with the proposed fixes through the reconciliation process, this whole thing would cost over 10 years $940 billion and supposedly cut the deficit by $130 billion. Today, at a Rose Garden ceremony signing a temporary jobs bill, the president says this is good news for the health care fight.
This morning, a new analysis from the Congressional Budget Office concludes that the reform we seek would bring $1.3 trillion in deficit reduction over the next two decades.
Up on Capitol Hill, congressional Democrats licking their chops, thinking this might be the tool that brings in that last handful of votes needed to secure passage and hopefully dodge a very controversial rule maneuver in order to move this thing forward without a majority vote. South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn is the Democratic whip in the House. He made no bones about how important this is.
We are absolutely giddy over the great news that we've gotten from CBO.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says this bill's a winner for everyone.
For the health and well-being of American people, for the fiscal soundness of America's budget, for seniors, for our young people, for women, for small businesses, and for competitiveness, we will make history and we will make progress by passing this legislation.
But as you might suspect, Republicans have a very different analysis. New Jersey Republican Congressman Scott Garrett, a member of the House Budget Committee, says there's no way that this is fiscally sound.
Well, giddy is one word. Maybe laughable is a better word, because if anyone really believes that we're actually going to be saving money by adding tens of millions of more people to the roles of who the government pays their health insurance for, obviously it just doesn't understand basic math and how the government operates.
Garrett says he's not slamming the Congressional Budget Office. He says they have to score the presumptions of the Democratic Party in this legislation, even if they're not based in reality.
The CBO score that we have here basically assumes the facts as given to them by the Democrat majority. And so when you take their assumptions, yes, you can assume anything you want, and that's when they come up with the $100 billion saved over a 10-year period.
So what would actually happen under the Democratic plan? And why do Republicans believe this would not reduce deficits, but be a huge expansion of our nation's red ink? Congressman Garrett again.
There's a brand new entitlement program in the bill. And in that entitlement program, it says they start collecting taxes effectively immediately. And they don't start paying out the benefits for them until the end of the 10-year cycle. Well, of course, if I start taking money from you for in the first 5 or 6 years, and I only start giving you a little bit of back in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th year, for that 10-year period, I'll do okay. But after that, then it goes into deficit for the government because we're paying out more than we're taking in.
It's even stronger language from the Republican leadership on Capitol Hill. House Republican leader John Boehner says his party is united and will do whatever it can to stop this from passing.
Republicans in the House and Senate have worked closely together over the last year. And we're going to continue to work closer together and to do everything that we can do to make sure that this bill never, ever, ever passes.
As for Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, he says he senses a tremendous amount of arrogance from President Obama and the Democratic leaders that they simply know better than the American people who are speaking loudly and clearly against this plan.
I know the White House believes and the Democratic leadership in the House and Senate believe that they're smarter than everybody else, that they've figured this out, that the American people are just mistaken. That kind of arrogance usually precedes a big fall.
Another thing Republicans are trying to warn House Democrats about is that there's absolutely no guarantee that Senate Democrats will follow through on their promises to make changes to the legislation once it's been signed into law. And if that process does move forward, Oklahoma Republican Senator Tom Coburn says, expect a very long, drawn-out fight.
So if you think you can cut a deal now and it not come out till after the election, I want to tell you that isn't going to happen. And be prepared to defend selling your vote in the House.
Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. Meanwhile, back in the House, one of the biggest problems for Democrats to get over the finish line on the vote count here are pro-life Democrats. A good dozen of them, according to their leader, Bart Stupak of Michigan, who are ready to vote against this plan because they see it as funding abortions with the money of taxpayers. Obviously, Stupak has been in the crosshairs of many on the left, and he explained today on MSNBC just how vicious the backlash has been.
Some people who disagree with me, they can't have an honest discussion about it. You get cussed out wherever you go. Unfortunately for my wife, she's got to unplug her phone at night because you get the phone calls at 2, 3 in the morning, and they're not asking me about my position. They want to cuss you out, so she can't even even do that. My staff is overwhelmed, and we're accosted basically wherever we go by people who disagree. We should have disagreements in this country. I, for one, am staying on a principle that most Americans agree with. There's no reason for that kind of language, abusive behavior to my family, my staff, or even myself.
And now the National Organization for Women is sponsoring a challenge to Stupak in the Democratic primary in Michigan's 1st Congressional District, getting behind a Charlevoix, Michigan area county commissioner who is very much pro-choice as well as pro-gay marriage. As for the rule debate, we may not have to see it if Democrats can cobble together the votes. But, of course, one of the big controversies this week has been about deem and pass, which would automatically approve the Senate bill as the House members are asked to vote on the changes through the reconciliation process. President Obama on Wednesday was asked about this strategy during an interview with the Fox News Channel's Brett Baer.
I don't spend a lot of time worrying about what the procedural rules are in the House or the Senate. If people vote yes, whatever form that takes, that is going to be a vote for health care reform, and I don't think we should pretend otherwise.
Another issue in this debate could be a mass exodus of physicians. According to a new report from the National Center for Public Policy Research, a survey shows that 46% of current practicing physicians would either quit if this president's health care plan passes or would at least consider it. That would be cataclysmic given the number of people being added to the health care system if this legislation is approved. The report also suggests that the number of people entering medical school would drastically decrease. The reasons would be much higher taxes, much more regulation, and being forced to treat people on Medicaid and Medicare when that system already fails to reimburse doctors for the true costs actually incurred in treating those patients. The debate goes on. To hear my entire interview with Congressman Garrett or my conversation with Brian Patterson of the National Center for Public Policy Research, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While there, you can also catch my interview with Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired. You may remember that on Wednesday we talked about General David Petraeus suggesting that the alliance between Iran and al-Qaeda is strengthening and that Iran has had some setbacks in its nuclear program. We'll talk about that with him. And, of course, our weekly visit with John Gizzi, who gives his final prediction on the health care vote in the House. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.